This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at NorthtownAuto.com.
Okay, it is time for the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Glad to be in with you here on a... What day is today? Today Tuesday? Yes, of course it is. It's cut down day. Tuesday, 4 p.m. That's today. I mean, the days run together when you're trying to figure all this out with the NFL. This day, deadline here, deadline there, deadline on this night, deadline on that night, 4 p.m., 12 noon, whatever it is, 1 p.m. tomorrow, all this kind of stuff, right? It's where we are now. By 4 p.m. today... The Buffalo Bills and the rest of the NFL will have to be at a maximum of 53 players on their active roster. The word active is really, really key here, just so everybody knows, okay? And I say that, and I'll explain it in a little while, because there's suspensions, there's IR, there's PUP lists. What's the difference between active, not active, reserve? I have all of that, and I'd like to... kind of go over that with you today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. But I also, obviously, would love to take your phone calls and what you're thinking about, what the Bills might do, what they should do, where you're concerned, where you're excited with today. 803-0550 is the number to call. 803-0550 here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. When you do that, we'll get connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. By the way, next week, I'll be at Kia doing this show on a Thursday. The opening night of the NFL season, that same day. We're doing our annual show at the Kia showroom.
It kind of sneaks up on you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Next week.
I mean, that's next Thursday that's happening. This show is going to be... I mean, crazy. Think about it. Next Thursday is the opening night for the NFL.
Yeah.
And we're gonna be out at Northtown Kia doing this show on Thursday. But even before that, doing Always Game Day in Buffalo Friday over at Signals in the afternoon, and people want to come out and say hi to Matt and I. So, I mean, like, seriously, the reason I tell you about this is, like, this is it. We're here. It's football season. We're talking football.
The
baby.
Weather is definitely
We're talking football,
season.
Baby.
It was, like, below 60 until, like, 9 o'clock today. That's
don't tell me that.
Fall
yes,
hey,
it is.
Come on, that's great.
I did look at the
great.
Weather. I did look long range. I know. Actually, we're getting back to the 80s, like by the weekend or next week. I've been peeking. It is time we can actually see a little bit what the weather's going to look like Sunday night, September 7th. Looks really good. But it's going to be probably a little chilly. I think the high temperature is going to be through the day in the low 70s. And then you're going to get probably high 50s, low 60s at night. So
that's perfect football weather right there.
Be ready. That's Bills Ravens week one, right?
Yeah. Remember like 2 weeks ago when it was 95 and we were waiting for this?
I was ever waiting for this.
Oh, I was waiting for this.
You were?
I was waiting.
I don't complain about the heat. I never complain about it. I always say golfing in the heat, like the hotter the better for me. I actually like to play golf in the heat. People are thinking I'm nuts because I'm like, I know what it's like. I don't like playing in like fall weather because once that happens, you're a little chilly and yeah, it's a little different. But it does mean football's here. We always ask, when is the end of summer for you? Is it when Bills training camp hits? That happened a month and a half ago. A month ago now, a month and a week. Is it when the Erie County Fair happens? That happened. That's already over. Is it when kids go back to school? That's happening soon, right? So that's where we can kind of start to put all of our focus now, which is on the Buffalo Bills and the NFL season. But really, today is a very, very big day. You know, today is a day where dreams can either be realized or come shattering down. And I know that for the average person, that's not really kind of how you think about it. But it truly is a day that you have to, I think you should at least take some time to realize what it means to the actual players going through this, which is somebody could make an NFL roster today. And, oh my God, it's the greatest thing that's ever happened. And professionally, they've realized their lifelong dream. But the great, great, great majority of players who are fighting for NFL roster spots and jobs not only will be released today and say, hey, we don't have a spot for you, but their careers are probably over because you only get to keep 16 each team on a practice squad when you're cutting 30-plus. And that's a tough deal. And the Bills have already started to make some of those cuts, both officially and unofficially. No surprises, with some of the moves the Bills made. Yesterday, they did release some players. Zay Alexander and Garnett Hollis Jr., a couple of defensive backs. Nelson Caesar, a defensive end. Offensive lineman Rush Reimer. Running back Elijah Young and tight end Matt Sokol. They also waived Grant Dubose, a wide receiver who was injured, so he goes on a waived injured list. So that was yesterday officially from the team. We also know, they also released, by the way, defensive back Trey Herndon. We also know, unofficially, some of the things that they're doing. Now, Josh, you've been on top of some of this reporting that's been going on and different things. I know that the Dane Jackson release was reported earlier today. I don't know if there's anything since then.
Laviska Shenault reported to be released.
Okay.
By the Bills. So
okay. That's I did not see that. And yeah. That also is in line with something I wanted to talk about, which was a spot where, and I've been saying, I just didn't feel there was a spot for him. And I think that that's showing right now, according to that report and you know what they do at the return spot, it's always been to me Brandon Codrington's job, and it looks like it's going to be Brandon Codrington's job. But it does impact the wide receiver group.
That's one along less with that, for Steven Gosnell also released.
Oh, released, not injured though.
No.
Okay.
Not that I saw.
Okay, because he did miss the last game with an injury. That's why I was just curious
right.
if they were putting him on injured reserve.
It didn't say in the report. So.
Okay, I got you. We also know yesterday, what really interesting, both Mike White and Shane Buechele were reportedly waived or released. In Mike White's case, released because he'd be a veteran. You just cut ties. Shane Buechele, in his case, waived because he'll have to go through waivers because he hasn't had four accrued seasons. He's been around 4 years, but not enough actual things he's done to qualify for that status. So we know it's going to be Josh Allen and Mitch Trubisky as the two quarterbacks. Not a surprise there. I posted my Buffalo Bills 53-man roster projection on X Sunday morning. So it's been a couple days now. I'd invite you to go look at it. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed for me. I'm still anticipating the exact same that I posted on Sunday, even hearing these moves, Laviska Shenault, Mike White, Shane Buechele, and even Dane Jackson. That's a big one today. We'll get into him. I also want to talk about Jordan Phillips. Jordan Phillips has signed with the Bills, according to the NFL's official transaction wire. He is on the Buffalo Bills. He's on the Buffalo Bills 90-man roster. That will change at 4 p.m. Jordan Phillips is going to be released. Well, why the heck would they sign him to the 90-man roster and then release him several hours later, Sal? Here's why. Because there's space on the 90-man roster. The plan is he's going to be in the organization. He's going to be on the practice squad. But you can't have a practice squad yet. Practice squad doesn't even start formulating until 4 p.m. today. So if you're going to put him on the practice squad, a way to get him in the building early to start working out at the facility, starting going to team meetings, put him on the active roster right now. Then you release him at 4 o'clock, and then he re-signs with the practice squad. So really, all you're doing is paper transactions for a guy to be in your building on your team, which is what's going to happen. So that's Jordan Phillips. But what does it mean that Jordan Phillips has signed with the Buffalo Bills and that he is going to be here on the practice squad? I think we could still read a bunch into this. I still think it could mean that they could move on from Larry Ogunjobi, even though he will be suspended and not count on the roster. This would be for cash and cap purposes, if that were the case. Why keep him on the suspended list, guarantee his salary week one, and spend that cash when you can move on from him, even though he's not counting on your roster, and that's something nice to have that you can just kind of keep that roster spot open. If that's the case, bringing a guy like Jordan Phillips in, who can just kind of take the practice squad spot, be on the team's game day roster if you need through an elevation, if you really need somebody, whereas Ogunjobi can't do that, right? So maybe it means something for Larry Ogunjobi. I don't know. Maybe it does. Maybe it means that, you know, they've decided that they'd rather go that route, save the cash, save the cap, and have Jordan Phillips on the ready. Could it mean something for Daquan Jones? The Bills still do have to get under the salary cap. The projections I've seen are they are over the cap as of right now, over the cap when it has to become, they have to become cap compliant with 53 men. Cap compliant with 53 men would be at 4 p.m. today. They are over the cap right now. When it comes to 4 p.m. today, the projection is over the cap right now. They still have room right now as they're operating, but they're going to have to make some tough decisions. So I think you're either looking at a guy who could be cut that could have some money due cap-wise. Could that be Daquan Jones? Could he be a cap casualty? Somebody that they decide to move on from and save $5.5 million? No doubt that could be the case. But maybe they just feel that that's just too much to... I mean, or hey, there's always restructures and extensions. I mean, you could lower guys' base salaries, give them another year, put a void year. If you don't want to move on from a guy, you want to save some money, that could be a Daquan Jones. What about Connor McGovern extension? You could do that. You could save some money there. Lower his salary cap. All of those things are possible. So maybe Daquan Jones is the reason why they're bringing Jordan Phillips back. And they're making a move there. Maybe it's Dwayne Carter. I've seen a lot of people speculate that a third-round pick from a year ago that was playing deep into the final preseason game on Saturday night could be a guy that they're not as enamored with. They have two young guys they really like, and Deion Walker and TJ Sanders, and maybe Dwayne Carter's the odd man out. It still would surprise me they'd kind of pull the shoot on a third-round pick that early, and I think Dwayne Carter, they still like him, everything about him, but maybe that's something they will investigate. And by the way, he's on a rookie deal as a third-round pick. That's not a lot of cost into that right now compared to where others are. These are all things that Brandon Bean, his scouting staff, his football ops staff, and everybody is going through right now. Or could it be they just want Jordan Phillips back in the building and want him ready? And he said, "Yo, none of that is anything." Maybe by today you're like, no, they didn't do anything with Daquan or Dwayne Carter or Larry Ogunjobi, and they just have Jordan Phillips here because they know that if they need somebody, especially against a team like the Baltimore Ravens who likes to pound the ball, they can bring him up. Maybe that's all the case. We'll find out a little bit later today. I'll get into some of the kind of technicality specifics so everybody can kind of understand a little bit more what's happening today as we roll along here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Andy Young of Spectrum News One is going to join me at 11 a.m. We'll get his thoughts on the roster, how it's taking shape, what's going to happen over the next week, his thoughts on anything he saw on Saturday that might move that equation as well. 803-0550. Is the number to call. Let's get to Tim in South Carolina to start us off. Hi, Tim. Go ahead.
Hey, Sal. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yep.
I just wanted to first say that my wife actually is from the Olean area. She went to Bolivar Richburg High School, so that's a cool little nugget there, which is a perfect segue into my first question for you. I'd love to know how you shot and what's next on tap for the Sal Capaccio golf game. Where do we need to start saving strokes from. So, but on a more serious note, Sal, I'd love to get your, you know, Chris Brown always says we kind of live in, I just want to get your general thoughts around the league. The Bills seem to care a lot about the little details, like kind of who's holding for Tyler Bass and, you know, who they have returning punts, kicks, all that stuff like that. And I'm not taking anything away from Codrington. I like him a lot. But it just always kind of seems like, you know, one or two guys at the bottom of the roster get clipped every year. And I wanted to know, do teams around the league kind of designate somebody for that like the Bills do? Do they kind of throw, you know, somebody at the back end of the roster and work on them with camp back there? Can you just kind of give me a pulse around the league? Are the Bills the outlier? And that's about it. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, can I hold on 1 second, Tim, and I'll keep you on here for 1 second. Let me go through a couple things here. Number one, it was a scramble. I hit the ball very well, but had some bad shots as well, of course. It was really great time. And the next thing on my golf game, I think I got the drive figured out, even though I fade a little bit. I got the driver that I got fitted for, which really helps me. But I still, every once in a while, my irons, I'm a little leaky there because I have to figure out sometimes, oh, I want to put it here, I want to put it there. So irons were good yesterday until they weren't, if that makes sense. So next up, yeah. We'll see about another golf event, but not much golf time now that football season is here. Okay, I'm going to say this, Tim, okay? I think people forget. Do you remember, I don't know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, everybody would say, why don't the Bills just do what Bill Belichick does? Bill Belichick does this. Bill Belichick does that, right? Like, everything was all about what Bill Belichick did because he was such a great comparison because he won and all that, and the Bills don't do anything like the Patriots. You know what Bill Belichick did? He devoted, like, 4 or 5 spots every year to just special teams guys. He did that.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, he had a return man. He had a gunner. Heck, he's had gunners that make Pro Bowls just by living off the, that's what he did. That's what all teams do. Every team is like this. Now, could you make an argument? Well, the Bills keep one extra guy than most teams do, or he doesn't do as much on defense or offense. Absolutely, Tim. But the Bills are not different than any team in this league where they devote a certain amount of roster spots to just specialists who that's all they do because it's important to their role. Now, in a perfect world, Tim, Brandon Codrington would be a better player on defense, or at least a more reliable player on defense, I should say, to be able to use if he's going to be your main return man. There's no doubt. They would love that. The reality is, he's a guy that you can just put on the field at the end of the game to get you through the end of a game if you need to, and you really don't hope that doesn't happen. But he's good, and he's so trustworthy and so good for them at returning punts that's why they're going to keep him, it appears, right? That, hey, you know what? What he does for us in the return game, trusting him back there in this stadium, in the wind, in the weather, that's just something that we feel outweighs the fact that he can't help us on defense. And I think that's how you have to look at it.
Yeah, and I really enjoy him in that spot. Again, in a perfect world, that would be the case. And I think we got a little spoiled when our fourth string punters booming 62-yard kicks in preseason game. No, I'm just kidding. But thanks so much for the call, Dale.
Yeah, you got it. I got that. Yeah. Okay. Zach Davidson, yeah, he had a really nice punt. How many people did I have tell me Zach Davidson should be kept as the punter? No, sorry. That's not what he does. I mean, if he wants to transition to punter full-time, then he can compete for a job. He's a tight end, and he has a very good shot to be the tight end on the practice squad, like he has been the last few years, and that's his role. He's not going to be practicing punting during the week. And it's not just punting a ball that matters, by the way, when you are the punter on an NFL team. It's understanding the game plan, understanding who you're punting to, understanding what your job is in a certain punt. Are you punting to the sidelines? Are you bombing it? Are you trying to get it into the end zone? And then working that with your special teams unit. It's also working with the special teams unit, meaning with your long snapper, Reed Ferguson, holding, right? The punter's got to be the holder these days. We know that because of how practice works, and you can't just have quarterbacks and wide receivers do it anymore. There's just no time anymore in practice. That's why all these things get put together. I try to explain a lot of this sometimes, and I know people feel that maybe they shouldn't be that way. It's just the way it is, though. It's just the way it is. So it looks like, as you said, Ian Rappaport, Josh said a little while ago, but Ian Rappaport reported about an hour ago, the Bills are releasing wide receiver and returner Laviska Shenault Jr., and that opens up to me what I've been saying for a long time, which is Brandon Codrington is the punt returner on this team, and he's going to be kept as the main punt returner. There is one spot for him as a punt returner and maybe an opening at kick returner if a guy like Laviska Shenault, in this case, would be able to show enough on offense to be able to use him there. It appears that's not the case, so I think you're going into this season with Brandon Codrington as your main punt returner, and on kicks, you'll probably get one of the running backs, Ty Johnson, Ray Davis. To me, that's probably who's going to be returning kicks with him. Or maybe KJ Hamler. Maybe Elijah Moore, if he's going to be, you know, kept on this roster, which I think he will. I don't think KJ Hamler will, just bespoke right there. But that's how this is going to work, I think. Who knows if the Bills bring Laviska Shenault back onto the practice squad. We'll see. Obviously, Tyrell Shavers has been a talking point for a lot of people, and rightfully so. I totally get it. I think Tyrell Shavers makes the 53-man roster. I think Laviska Shenault's release doesn't have to be totally impactful of this, right? But it does kind of get me a little bit more there, and I have him on my roster. I think Tyrell Shavers did enough as a pass catcher. He said after the game on Saturday, he did enough as a pass catcher. Last year, he thought, Josh, could you grab Tyrell Shavers post game for me? I want to play this because I thought this was interesting. Saturday, we saw Tyrell Shavers post game Saturday, and you're going to hear it. I asked him specifically, do you think you did enough to make the 53-man roster? His answer was interesting. This is Tyrell Shavers, a little bit of him, after the game on Saturday night, after he had that great one-handed catch against the Buccaneers.
How do you approach it? Has your mindset changed at all, or is it mostly the same?
I would say it's pretty much the same. I feel like when you kind of change your mindset, that's when things don't really go your way. I just got to keep stacking, keep producing, keep showing that I can play, whether that's on offense and special teams as well.
You look at what you've done this summer, and you know you're in there with Adam Henry and Joe Brady. What's the kind of feedback that you've gotten in terms of the growth last year to this year, but even just over the last couple of weeks?
Just one, that they trust me and they know that I'm gonna go out there and do my job and make some plays, and I just got to keep being consistent, keep showing up, keep being where the quarterback needs me, and making plays.
Tyrell, on special teams, how have you felt that you've grown in that area to be able to help and contribute for them to say, yeah, this is a guy we can use?
Tremendously. I feel like I've grown, like, it's night and day compared to last year. I put on some weight, which I planned to do over the offseason, just so I can be able to block bigger guys and do things, especially like a gunner, too, on special teams.
How much, like, you know, after practice, probably working on catching, your route running, all that stuff, how much has that shifted over the time to working on, like, specific things you have to do for special teams?
I think that's pretty much what the focus is. Even if it's not even full speed, jog through, or just working, like, certain techniques for gunner techniques, or working, like, blocking positions that they want me to be in.
All right, so actually, my apologies. That was after the Chicago game, I believe, him speaking. We'll get the audio from you after Tampa. I'll just tell you what he said, though. I asked him if he felt he did enough to make the 53-man roster, and he said, yes, but I think I did enough last year. Which is interesting because he didn't make it last year, right? And he kind of gave that out where, hey, I thought I did enough last year to make the 53-man roster. So, yeah, that did not happen. And now this year, we'll see. And remember, last year, he was on the practice squad the whole year. And at the end of the year, he comes up at a Jets game, and he has one touch for 69-yard touchdown. And that was the only touch he had, I think, all year last year. Definitely the first touch, his first touch in an NFL game. But he's a guy that, you know, we've been talking a lot about Tyrell Shavers. And it looks like, to me, I still think he's going to make the team, but hey, you have some decisions to make there. Curtis Samuel's another guy we've talked a lot about. What happens with Curtis Samuel? I mean, he has had a lack of availability. And even on Saturday, he was sick and didn't make the trip. So you have to kind of weigh all of that in there. He was injured last year during the preseason, missed a lot of time. Injured this year during the preseason, missed a lot of time. Hasn't been able to get on the field. Did not take one. I don't think he played once in the preseason at all this year, Curtis Samuel. So how do you weigh that with making sure he is healthy, available, and going to contribute on your roster? The only thing I would say is what Sean McDermott basically said a couple weeks ago, which is when he did finally get back on the field and healthy, he liked what he saw. He liked the progression from him. And I think that means that they're in a spot where they feel like he can help this team. He is costing money on the salary cap with or without being on the roster. You could save $500,000 by releasing him. People brought up a trade. I mean, I don't know who's trading for Curtis Samuel and his, you know, $6 plus $7 million salary. That would be a tough deal, but you never know. I guess a team could do it. I think Elijah Moore, by reading the tea leaves and how they've treated him, will be on the roster. What I mean by that is he was out of the game pretty early against the Buccaneers, right? He was in the first half, had a couple plays. And then that was it. I think that kind of shows me that they are going to keep Elijah Moore, but we'll see on his end as well. So there's a lot happening here and a lot of guys they have to make decisions on. Running back is not going to be difficult, folks. It's going to be James Cook, Ty Johnson, and Ray Davis. I say that because I know Frank Gore Jr. looked really good, and that's great. Great for him. There's just nowhere to put him on this roster. They're not keeping four running backs. Reggie Gilliam's also on the roster, but he doesn't even count. He's a fullback, but they're not keeping four running backs. So I just can't see how, you know, Frank Gore Jr. has a path here, unless it was an injury of some sort, to start. He did, remember, play last year. He was active at least for the Jets game in New York. Ray Davis and Ty Johnson had the workload in that game, but he was active just in case and didn't even really see the field that game when he was active. But that's because James Cook, Ty Johnson, and Ray Davis are your three main running backs. But I bring it up because Frank Gore Jr. is a guy that, has shown a lot in preseason and garnered a lot of buzz from a lot of you. Let's go to Noah on a cell. Hi, Noah.
Hey, Sal. My question for you is about Dewayne Carter. Over the last couple of days, I feel like I've heard all of a sudden people talking negatively about Dewayne Carter, and that's maybe something that I just didn't have my eye on before. I want to know what your thoughts are on how he's played throughout his rookie year last year. And are people only talking negatively, like, oh, we're going to cut Carter now because of the confusion with what happened with bringing Jordan Phillips back? And is that where their brains went? You know, we're going to move something with Dewayne Carter. Kind of what's your assessment on that situation with him?
Okay, it's a great question. And I think that has started to percolate, as you just brought up, Noah, maybe over the last couple of weeks, just looking at the numbers. And then with the Jordan Phillips stuff, I think that's really what brought it a little bit more to the forefront. I think what's happened, though, here is that they've drafted two young guys who people look at and say they've looked good, right? They've done a good job. They've been in here. Where are the numbers? You're not getting rid of course, Deion Walker or TJ Sanders. You know what Ed Oliver's role is. And I think they look at it and say, I haven't really seen much from Dewayne Carter. And I haven't necessarily either as far as flashing. Doesn't mean he's not doing his job. He's a defensive tackle, right? But I think because you haven't seen him flash like you have the others, and you saw him playing deep into the game Saturday, and they are bringing in Jordan Phillips, I think that's what gets us to it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I
appreciate the answer.
Yeah, I still think it's probably less than likely they move on from a third-round pick of a year ago. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. This is not an organization that typically does that, I guess, is the way I'd say it. They're just not an organization that typically does that. Takes a player in a third round and moves on from him a year later, right? Just generally doesn't happen. Can it? Sure. We'll see. That's my answer on Dewayne Carter. I think Dewayne Carter last year, just before he had his wrist injury, he started to flash. Thought he played, was it the Baltimore game, made a couple of plays, and then he went in the Houston game, he was really good. And then he had the wrist injury, and he missed a bunch of time. And then he came back, and he wasn't quite the same player. And I think the wrist really impacted that. They go out, they sign Larry Ogunjobi, then they find out he's suspended. They draft TJ Sanders, they draft Deion Walker. I mean, they bring Zion Logue back. Well, I think Zion Logue is actually a guy that can play a little bit in this league. So there's a lot of numbers here, right, that you're thinking of, and you're looking at and saying, where does he fit in? Does he fit in? All of that matters. 803-0550 is the number to call. That's 803-0550 here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. We will. I will get to some of that operational stuff. I'll explain active versus reserve and what it means when it comes to 4 o'clock today, because there are several players on the Bills' current 90-man roster who are going to be moved to a different list and not count on the 53-man roster, even though they're actually playing this season. What does all that mean? I'll try to explain it for you when we come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Yeah, I mean, those are character plays, right? You got to want to do that, and you got to be selfless enough to want to do that and then give that effort. So those do not fly under the radar for us when we go back and examine the film, and we'll do that on the way home on the plane. So listen, there's a lot at stake for these guys. We don't take that lightly, and we have to do our best to give a fair evaluation of the performance tonight. And so in some ways, they made it awfully hard on us to make some tough decisions over the next couple of days here.
I think that also, did Jimmy Charlo, is there a report about him being released? Let me just make sure on this. I'm reading it, but I want to make sure. Bills are releasing Jimmy Charlo. This is John Waro who tweets it. If he clears, plans to get into the practice squad. Yep. And he's going to go to the Bills practice squad. I think Jimmy Charlo, exactly. He is the perfect practice squad kind of guy, right? He made an impression. He got here. I know a lot of you, Jimmy Charlo needs a spot. Who's he playing over? Who are you keeping him over? You keeping him over Joe Andreessen? No. Shaq Thompson? No, Shaq Thompson to me is on this team and has a role. I'd be stunned if Shaq Thompson doesn't make this team. Not keeping him over to Bernard, Milano, or Dorian Williams. It's tough to justify a spot for him. He's not a DB. He's a linebacker. Well, yeah, he can play special teams, right? But, I mean, there's other guys play special teams too. And as we just talked about Brandon Codrington and wanting him to play more on the defensive side, that's something that's a little bit different because of how important his role is. But most of these guys playing special teams have an ability to play a little bit in their regular roles, and that wouldn't be the case for him. So I get it. There's a lot of Jimmy Charlo love, but it's just not a spot for him. But you know what you can do? You put him on the practice squad. He gets paid an NFL paycheck every week. He's at an NFL facility with a team every week. And then when the team has a spot that they need a guy in a pinch to play special teams because their depth, somebody is hurt, you bring him up. And he plays for you, and that's a good life in the NFL for a lot of people, much better than where he was a few months ago for sure. So you know, rooting for the guy, no doubt about it. 803-0550 is the number to call here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, so right now the Buffalo Bills have a 90-man roster. Okay, everybody on the 90-man roster is on an active list. Active, even Cedric Van Pran Granger. I bring him up specifically because he is on the physically unable to perform list, but it's the active physically unable to perform list. The word active means they count on the active roster, whether that's 90 or 53. When you see active, that means they count on the 90 currently or the 53. The word reserve means you don't. You're in a reserve position. You're stashed away. You're on layaway. All right? You're on layaway till we need you. So you're reserve until... So you don't count on the 90 or the 53. That's why the word injured reserve, the words injured reserve, matter so much. When you are an injured reserve, you are not counting on your team's active roster. So that makes sense, everybody, right? Active versus reserve. Those are the two key words when you talk about how rosters are shaped and what they mean. Right now, the Bills have 90 players on their active roster. Cedric Van Pran Granger, for example, I'm using him because it's a great example for this one I'm about to tell you. He is on the active physically unable to perform list. The way the NFL works and the rules, once 4 o'clock hits today, because he has not practiced all year, he has not stepped foot in a practice field. If he did, this would be different. Because he hasn't, they can simply move the active off his pup and put reserve. So now he doesn't count on the roster anymore. Doesn't count on the 53. Once they go to 53, by 4 p.m. today, they got to go from 90 to 53. That's one guy where he doesn't have to be released, doesn't have to be cut. They'll just say from active pup to reserve pup. That's when they can do that, okay? So that's a guy that goes into a different bucket. Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi. Assuming Ogunjobi makes the team, I don't know if that's the case, but let's just say he does. Michael Hoyt, Larry Ogunjobi. Right now, they're active, they're playing, they're on the team, they're on the 90-man roster. At 4 p.m. today, so 5.5 hours from now, less than that, they can no longer be with the club and participating in activities for 4 weeks. They are suspended by the league for 6 games for PEDs. So what happens at 4 p.m. today with them is the same thing. Same thing as Cedric Van Pran Granger. Van Pran will go from active pup to reserve pup and not count. These guys will just go from active 90-man to reserve suspended. They do not have to make the 53-man roster. At 4 p.m. today, both those guys, they're going to do is put the word reserve /suspended. So now they go on, as I'll say, layaway, on reserve. So now you got 3 guys who simply go from the 90-man to a reserve list and don't even count on the 53, but you're still yours and they can still play for you a little bit later. Pup list, Van Pran would have to miss 4 games. Hoyt and Ogunjobi, we know they missed 6 games. Okay. Max Hairston. I believe Max Hairston, at 4 p.m. today, is going to be placed on the IR designated to return list. Now, this is where it gets a little complicated, and I'll try to explain a little better. If an NFL player, like some guys already have this year, like Darrington Evans, like Caden Prather, if a player goes on injured reserve throughout training camp, preseason, he's done for the year. He cannot play for that team. He is on injured reserve. If it's a player that has only played 3 years in the league, let's say, less than 4 years, he still has to get waived with an injury designation, but the team moves on from him and another team can claim him. If he's not claimed, he reverts back to the team. He still can't play for them. That was the case with Bailyn Spector, but the Bills ultimately moved on anyway. Once today comes, once 4 o'clock comes today, the Bills are allowed to put two players maximum, and every team can do this. They can take two players on their roster and say, you know what? We're going to put him on injured reserve, but he's not out for the year. He has to sit out at least 4 games. But we could do that today without having to make him make the 53 to take up a spot. That, to me, is Max Hairston. Could be another player, too. We don't know. If there's an injury out there that they might want to do this with somebody. Max Hairston today at 4 p.m., my prediction is, we will see that he has been placed on IR/designated to return. So he doesn't have to make the 53. He goes on IR. He's got to miss 4 games, and then he can come back. That's 1, 2, 3, 4 spots. Cedric Van Pran Granger, reserve pup. Max Hairston, IR designated to return. Larry Ogunjobi and Michael Hoyt, reserve suspended. 4 players that they can basically not release, but also not have to count on their 53-man roster as of 4 p.m. today. So this team, the Bills, are essentially getting 57 roster spots if you count them, because they're going to play for you later. But they still get to keep 53 others. Out of those 53, because currently they've made some moves already, I guess, but let's say there's 90 men. You're going to get, what, that's 37 people? 37 guys that essentially get cut. Aside from those I just talked about, they'll get released. If the player who's released has played in this league for more than 4 years, they immediately become free agents. They can sign with any team in this league. They can sign with their practice squad. They can sign with the Bills practice squad. Re-sign with them. That's what happens at 4 p.m. today. You've been in this league for 4+ years. We're releasing you. You can go sign with any team. You are a free agent, but we'd like you back in our practice squad. Maybe you tell that to a guy. Jimmy Charlo. Right? Maybe LaVisca Chenault. Who knows? But that player can also say, you know what? I don't want to do that. I want to kind of survey my options here. Maybe I want to go to another team's practice squad. Maybe there's a spot on another team's 53-man roster, and I get paid a lot more money because I'm on their active roster. And they can do that. It's their choice. They're free agents. If a player has not played 4 years in this league, he's played 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, not a full 4 years, gets released today, he is actually what we call waived. Waived versus released. Released is you become a free agent because you've been in the league 4 years. Waived is now you're on waivers. From 4 p.m. until noon tomorrow, not a full 24 hours, what, 20 hours, from 4 p.m. today till noon tomorrow, every team in this league will look over all those players, all these guys who were released that haven't been in the league 4 years, they're all on waivers. And they say, you know what, we like that guy. We want to bring him on our team. He could take the place of somebody else we have. Ooh, we like that guy too. And every team will claim, they'll put in a claim, I want that guy, I want that guy. It could be 10 guys, 20 guys, doesn't matter. They do a bunch of teams, one team wants him, 10 teams want him, who knows? It goes in the reverse order of the draft. It goes in the order of the draft, I should say. Reverse order of standings. It goes in the order of the draft right now. Who had the first pick in this year's draft? Tennessee? So they have the first waiver claim pick. If Tennessee wants 5 guys, they get 5 guys. It doesn't reset. They go, we want this guy. We got him. Oh, we also want that guy. We got him. It doesn't reset. Does that make sense? Right? They want guys, they get them. Tennessee can do that. The Bills will have, what pick did they pick this year? 28th? Was it 29th? I can't even remember. But that's the number. That's the number waiver order the claim they have. They got to wait that many teams if they don't want a guy in front of them. That if they want a guy, there he is, and they can bring him in and they can sign him. They got to make that claim. The trick is, if you claim 30th. Sorry, thank you. It's been so many years of 28, 29, 30. It needs to be 32 1 year, right? So the Bills have 29 teams in front of them with every single one of these guys on waivers. If they want them, they get them before the Bills. The trick is, if you do claim a player and you say, we want him and you get him, you must put him on your active 53-man roster. You cannot just put him on the practice squad. You can't. That's why you don't see all these guys getting claimed all over the place. There's just not enough spots for him. There's not enough room for him. If you're the Bills and you want to claim a guy on waivers, you got to make a spot for him. By the way, that can happen. Guy makes the team today at 4 p.m. Congratulations. Lifelong dream. Made the team. Oh, by the way, tomorrow we just claim somebody. You're gone. I mean, that can happen. That happens every year around the league. It's a tough deal. I know. Now, what happens at noon tomorrow when nobody claims these guys? That's when they can start signing with practice squads again. Now they're free agents. Now they have no contract. Now it's like, hey, you want to sign a practice squad contract with us? Yes. Okay. Let's do that. So that's how it all works. Hope I didn't confuse you, but a lot of times people have questions about this. There's all these things that come up during the season, too, which is, well, how, can everybody just return from IR? Actually, you get eight guys you can have come back off IR. The difference is two of them can happen today by putting them on injured reserve and not counting on the 53-man roster. The rest of them will be on your roster, and then if they get injured through the season, then they can come back later in the year, but you only get eight of those total. Max Harrison, for example, would count as one already if they do that today. You also get two more in the playoffs. Well, Sal, you always talk about elevations. What does that mean? Well, if a guy's on the practice squad and you feel you need a guy to pinch hit, so to speak, play a different position, play a spot, a role on your team because someone's hurt one week, you elevate him to the game day roster that week. And you get two of those from your practice squad. And each guy can be elevated up to three times throughout the year. So if Dane Jackson, who's been released reportedly, re-signs with the Bills practice squad, then the Bills can actually just take him, elevate him against the Ravens or the Jets or whoever the next week. He doesn't count on the 53-man roster, but he gets to play that week. And you could do that three different times with him. So that's why it's important to remember it's not just a 53-man roster. It's also playing what we call roster gymnastics with guys who you could put on the practice squad and elevate and be a part of your team. 803-0550, any questions you have about the Bills roster, operational questions that I can hopefully possibly answer, today's the day for it. Because a lot of stuff's going to be happening over the next 24 hours and your head's going to be spinning maybe. We will hear from Bills GM Brandon Bean tomorrow at 2:30 p.m. Why so late? Because of everything I just said. Because we got to wait for the practice squad to be formed. We got to wait for waivers to be in. 2:30 tomorrow. And they know what happens at 3 o'clock tomorrow, Josh? 3 o'clock tomorrow. The Bills are on the practice field with their new 53-man roster and 17-man practice squad. And like literally, they go out there and they start practicing. They're getting ready for the Baltimore Ravens. Like at 3 o'clock tomorrow, the Bills are practicing with their actual roster that is the formulated roster of active and practice squad.
Now that's the end of summer.
There you go. I love it, Josh Schmidt.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Andy Young at 11 a.m. Sorry, I was just answering a tweet here. Someone said, I said I wasn't surprised that Chenault was released because Codrington was always been the, well, I shouldn't say it that way. I should say I was never surprised that Codrington would be kept as the main punt returner, as the main return man. Someone said, yeah, but Chenault was better on kick returns. That's fine. That's not what matters here. Punt returns matter. Either Chenault or another player would have had to beat Codrington out to get that spot. It just didn't happen. So, yeah, I mean, been saying it for months. I mean, unless something really funky happens and they're like, oh, we're keeping Elijah Moore or KJ Hamler to return punts, I guess it's still possible because you need the roster spot. I just can't see it. Nobody's really returned punts other than Brandon Codrington during the preseason. I mean, I guess here and there was one or two. Chenault did one. But, I mean, that's been his job. And I have not seen anything to suggest anything else other than Brandon Codrington being the main return man, punt return. So, yeah, Chenault was reportedly one of the players released, former second-round pick of the Jaguars. We'll see if he gets back on the practice squad. 803-0550 is the telephone number to call. We're going to have Andy Young come aboard. He is of Spectrum News One, and we'll get his thoughts on what it looks like as far as the roster and how it's shaking out and what the Bills may have to do or will do at certain positions. I'm interested in his thoughts about if he agrees with me about Max Harrison going on IR to return and what his thought is about Jordan Phillips. It's just a really interesting move for the Bills and what that could mean around the defensive tackle spot. So we'll do that with Andy Young of Spectrum News. 803-0550 is the number to call. You know what I'll do? I'll take Mark from West Seneca real quick here because I don't want to interrupt and have him wait through Andy. Go ahead, Mark. You're on the air, buddy.
Hey, Sal. Real quick, because yep. I know you're going to break or whatever.
Yep.
Two questions. First of all, if a player is claimed off the waivers, and I know he'd be turning down a 53-man roster spot if he did this, but does a player have the right to say no?
No.
I do not want to go to that team for whatever.
He does not. He does not have the right.
Does not have the right.
If you get claimed, you're claimed. Your contract goes with you. Everybody's under contract right now, right? Obviously, under 90-man roster, everybody's got a contract, 1 year, 10 years, whatever it is. If you are waived because you haven't been in the league 4 years and a team claims you, they just assume your contract and you go right to that team's 53-man roster under that current contract.
Okay, that may answer my second question, which was, for all the guys that do get waived, that 20-hour period you alluded to, do teams have the ability to contact agents and say, hey, if you don't get claimed, we'd like to talk to you about being on our practice squad, or is it still all hands off?
100% they do, and I would tell you this, Mark, agents are calling teams. The agents are calling teams going, get my guy on. My guy wants a job. He deserves to be on this. Go claim him on your 53. Go put him on your practice squad. Yes, as soon as that happens, that's why Brandon Bean isn't speaking to the media until like 2:30 tomorrow, because him and his team are going to be working the phones all day.
Okay, thanks.
You got it. Yeah, great questions, Mark. I appreciate it. Andy Young of Spectrum News up next here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, it's cut down day. A day where lots of guys are going to realize their dreams, but even more, many, many more, are unfortunately going to have them shattered. And maybe even just for a time being, or maybe forever, right? I mean, this is the reality of the situation. Pretty much every team has to cut about 37 players, give or take, depending on what each roster looks like. That's a lot of guys around the NFL through 32 teams, including the Buffalo Bills. 4 p.m. today is the roster cut deadline. I did go back and check. Last year, we didn't get the official word from the Bills until 5:16 p.m. That's when the text came over, 5:16 p.m. So you never know. Could happen earlier. Could happen later. I think in years past, we have had it right at 4 o'clock. You could even do it earlier than that. But we'll see how the Bills want to operate. Sal Capaccio here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Glad to be with you here on a Tuesday. I don't think Andy Young from Spectrum News is very surprised that I went back and looked at that text to know exactly when the cuts were made last year. We got to be ready for these things, Andy.
No, man, you are our guy who keeps those things on archive, and you know from 2016 when the Bills did something, open training camp or put out roster cuts. So, yeah, you're one of our guys for that to keep us on.
I have to. It's the only way I stay sane. I can't. I'll go crazy if I don't know, right? People hoard like things in their house, and I do save a lot of things. I hoard emails and texts. That's what I do, Andy.
Yeah, I've learned to do some of that from guys like you, like to just be on top of what's going on and keep track of old emails and how they've operated in the past, because there is some precedent for the way they do things.
And we'll see what the precedents hold for today, because the Bills have some precedents in how they've operated with their roster, what they've liked to do, including how they want to manage maybe guys on IR to return and where that goes. That brings us to Max Hairston. My first question for you is, do you agree with me that at 4 p.m. today or thereabout, we will find out the Bills will be placing their rookie first-round corner on IR to return, meaning he can't practice even for 4 weeks? Because obviously the issue there would be if he is going to be available to at least practice in like 3 weeks from now, they might want to keep him on the active roster to allow that to happen. But in the meantime, they can also save the roster spot. How do you see it happening?
Yeah, that's exactly what I had in my 53-man roster projection. We all do those at this point in time, but I did have Max Hairston going on that IR designated to return list, and that buys the Bills some time for him to ramp back up. Say he is ready in 3 weeks, well, that gives him time to get back to practice and sort of get in football shape and all those sorts of things before they throw him out there. And typically, you talked about precedents. I mentioned it too. The Bills tend to slow play injuries, right? They're cautious with these sorts of things. So they may not want to run out there before he's quite ready, and that will buy them some time. Now, obviously, what's going on with Tre'Davious White, that plays into this too. So we'll see how exactly that pans out, because we don't know a whole lot about White's condition either.
No doubt about it. And that brings us to Dane Jackson, which there's a reported release of Dane Jackson. I've always felt it's either all or nothing for Dane Jackson based on maybe Tre'Davious White's health. And the reason I say that is all would be, hey, if Tre'Davious is going to be out a while, we need a guy. So we're going to keep him on the roster so we don't eat up elevations, and we'll keep Dane Jackson. He's an outside corner. If they feel Tre'Davious White is healthy enough to play, I don't even think Dane Jackson's on the team. Well, lo and behold, it looks like he's not going to be on the team. It doesn't have to be the case, though, right, Andy? They could basically say, all right, maybe Tre'Davious goes on IR to return, or we do keep him on the roster, but we still have to use Dane, you know, as an elevation. What do you think it means that Dane Jackson reportedly has been released?
Well, to me, it means one of two things. Either Trey is in a good place and they think he's going to be good to go, or it won't be long term and they can use Dane Jackson, like you said, in that practice squad call-up role, or they have some other plan that we don't know about yet, which is signing someone or trading someone, which I think is much less likely than the first option. So to me, that means that they probably think that Trey is in a decent place, because then you're rolling with just basically Dane Jackson and Jamarcus Ingram, unless you have other options in place, and that would be Dane Jackson off the practice squad, of course, and assuming Ingram makes the 53-man roster. So they would have to have some other option in place there. So to me, that means that maybe it's good news for Trey White, but we'll see.
Andy Young, Spectrum News 1 here on the Wester Hotline. All right, what do you make of the Jordan Phillips signing? He is on the 90, and as I and others reported yesterday, he will be released at 4 p.m. today. He'll then join the team's practice squad. So what we thought was maybe him joining the team and someone being out because you have to have a spot for him might not be as clear right now.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting, because at first it sounded like, all right, he's on the 53 and we're rolling with him. And then who do you get rid of there? Is it Ogunjobi that gets cut, surprisingly, despite the suspension? Is it Dwayne Carter? They move on from him in a trade or something of that nature. So Jordan Phillips, veteran presence. Obviously, they love the juice he brings. And I think he told Brandon Bean, he mentioned this, that if he was going to play again, it was going to be for the Bills or no one. And it looks like he's heading back to the Bills. It gives him that veteran presence, that leadership. And if he's going to go to the practice squad, then that's a call-up guy, too. If they're not happy with the performance of one of the young defensive tackles or there's an injury or that sort of thing, they've got Jordan Phillips, who really sounds like only wants to play for the Bills, waiting in the wings to come in and be that guy that they need in situational pass rushing. He's one of the better pass rushers in the postseason for them over the last few years, now going into his fourth stint. So, I mean, it makes sense from that perspective, but the mechanics of it is what is drawing some ire here and some interesting thoughts from people.
Do you think it would ever, like, do you think there's a possibility they could move on from Dwayne Carter this quickly?
I don't think so, because, I mean, you get burned when you move on from guys so quickly. You think about, like, Wyatt Teller, right? He's a late-round pick. They move on from after, what, a year or so, and then he ends up being an all-pro. You know, given especially the young guys they've got ahead of Dwayne Carter and then Ogunjobi's suspension, it wouldn't make a ton of sense to move on. But if there's somebody out there that's like, hey, we'll give you a fifth-round pick or a fourth-round pick for this guy, maybe Brandon Bean bites on that just because of the numbers game and that they're saying, it's not working out quite like we liked. But it would surprise me if they moved on from him already going into year two, especially given last year was kind of an injury-plagued year for him.
Yeah, I agree with that. It would be way less likely, but, you know, we'll see what they do at the defensive tackle spot. What about Larry Ogunjobi? There is some cash and some cap savings if they decide, you know what, I know he's not going to be on the roster and count, but we can at least save some money here. We like the way our young guys have looked. Do you think that could happen today?
I thought that is a small possibility. I think the greater possibility is that he just goes on that reserve suspension list and they kind of wait and see. I mean, to me, that makes sense. All right, is there an injury to one of the top three or four guys at defensive tackle? Are one of the young guys not performing and we need somebody else? And in week eight, when he comes back, all right, that's a veteran guy who we know what we can expect from. We can plug him back into the lineup. But yeah, you're right. There is a little bit of cap savings there and maybe the numbers game bites him too. I would lean towards them just keeping him on that reserve suspended list and seeing where they are in week eight, because that's a nice option to have middle of the year. All right. Hey, somebody's banged up. Somebody's not playing well. We got a guy we can insert right into the lineup.
Yeah, I agree with you as far as like what makes the most sense and how they want to operate. But we'll see because of the cap situation they're in, which brings us to a guy like Curtis Samuel and another guy like Daquan Jones. Curtis Samuel could save you $500,000, but you're still going to have to count his $7 million cap hit or so either way, whether he's on the roster or not. But you could save a little bit of money there. He's been unavailable. Daquan Jones could save you $5.5 million. These are moves that could be on the table for the Buffalo Bills based on everything that we know of how they operated here in the preseason. Do you see anything with either of those two players?
You know, and that is very interesting. Could they trade Curtis Samuel as well, right, for one of these teams that's wide receiver hungry?
Then you would save money on the cap. That's right.
Yeah, that's big money. Then you're not eating that whole chunk there of Curtis Samuel if you think that Tyrell Shavers and Elijah Moore or whomever are the answer there. So Daquan Jones, interesting case too, because, yeah, he's been starting with the ones and he's rolling with the ones and he's kind of that veteran force. But, yeah, you can save quite a bit of money. And maybe that's where thinking behind the lines, like that's where the Jordan Phillips thing comes in, right? If you're saying, all right, we might trade or release Daquan Jones, then that's a different story. And then Phillips becomes even more important to what they need to do because of just the sheer numbers of guys they need bodies. If you decide, hey, we need to get under the cap, which Brandon Bean does need to do. They need to do some work here today and tomorrow to get to that point. That is an option to save quite a bit of money.
Well, that brings us to what you just said. Tyrell Shavers, a name that you mentioned. He's been the kind of the buzz, the polarizing guy in a way, I guess. I mean, I don't know of many people who say he shouldn't make the team, but most people feel he should. But we know how this works. You have to show more than just making catches. You got to be able to play on special teams if you're the number six wide receiver. Do you think he did enough to earn a spot on the 53-man roster?
I do. I mean, to me, he's done what you've asked of him. He's shown flashes of good play at wide receiver, and that fourth, fifth role would be a nice fit. Kind of like that Gabe Davis role from before he was elevated to a starter, right? Before John Brown left, that sort of thing. And Emmanuel Sanders left and they pressed him into a number two. He can be a downfield threat. He can be Keon Coleman's primary backup as that bigger X receiver, which they don't have much of beyond Keon Coleman and Tyrell Shavers. And then he's done what they've asked on special teams. He's popped there both in practice and in game. So I don't know what more they would want him to do unless it's simply they really think that they only want to keep five and the other five show so much more at wide receiver than he does. But, I mean, he even said it. I thought I was going to make the team last year and didn't. So when we talked to him in the locker room after that last game in Tampa, so he's kind of let's put it in God's hands and see where it goes. But he thinks he's done enough. I think he's done enough. Bills Mafia certainly does. Looking at the reactions on social media, I'm getting a lot of, you know, if Shavers isn't on the roster tomorrow, we riot. Right.
So I got the
funny. It's one of those camp darling things, but he's done a lot. He's been more than just, I think, a camp darling. I think he's shown he can play.
I got the same thing on Jimmy Charlo, and it just never was in the cards. We know John Morrow has reported he's going to be released. Not a surprise. I tried to explain earlier, there's no spot for Jimmy Charlo. Where's he going to play? You're keeping probably five linebackers. Terrell Bernard, Matt Milano, Dorian Williams, Joe Andreessen, and I think Shaq Thompson, who has a role on this team. And really, Jimmy Charlo doesn't fit in that group, and he's not going to do enough for you around the roster to be able to justify another spot. But a nice practice squad guy to have in case there is an injury.
Yeah, he's the perfect practice squad player. A guy who's got a chip on his shoulder, a guy who showed he can thrive in special teams in that gunner situation or getting downfield off the line of scrimmage on punt coverage and making plays like that. I mean, he's definitely not going to be ahead of any of those five guys you mentioned. And then, you know, you can talk about Eddie Ulofosio and different people like that. But I think that five is the guys you mentioned are the same guys I had. And Charlo's a guy who, great story. I think, kind of surprised people when he popped up on Hard Knocks and shared that emotional story of perseverance and what he's gone through. But it seems like a perfect practice squad guy and a guy you can develop and bring in if there's an injury or you need special teams help, something like that.
Speaking of special teams, Laviska Shenault reportedly released, me, I've been on this Brandon Codrington thing for several months and I'm going to maintain it because it's just, this is what they believe in, having a guy that they can really rely on as a punt returner. It was never about kick returns for Brandon Codrington. It was always about, or Laviska Shenault. Could someone, Laviska or another player, outpace Brandon Codrington as a punt returner? There was nothing I saw, Andy, throughout preseason or training camp that suggested to me that somebody was going to overvault, basically, Brandon Codrington as a punt returner. So it appears as though he's going to stay, but now that means Laviska Shenault is the odd man out. Any surprises there for you?
Not really. I went back and forth at the beginning of camp of would they keep Shenault or Codrington or perhaps both. We talked about, would there be a case for a sixth or seventh receiver with Shenault basically just as a kickoff return specialist. And they gave him a little bit of run as a punt returner throughout training camp just to give him that shot because he'd never really done it throughout even college and the pros. But not surprising at all to me. He didn't show enough in those other core four special teams as a coverage guy or in terms of burst in kickoff returns or in the punt return aspect, or importantly as well at wide receiver too. So this isn't stunning to me. And basically Brandon Codrington, while he did play nickel corner, is basically just a specialist. He's a return guy, and I think they're going to roll with him reading the tea leaves and how things have been reported so far.
What do you make of Tre'Davious White and the situation there? Dane Jackson obviously is going to be released, which might mean that Tre'Davious White is ready to play, but just kind of the overall picture of Tre'Davious White, what you saw from him, I guess, throughout preseason and training camp, and let's just say that there is, something they're dealing with here and he can play, how that all looks for this defense.
Yeah, it's very interesting because throughout the beginning of training camp, a lot of the story was, Trey White is on a mission, he looks good. He's even outplaying Maxwell Harrison, right, before Harrison went down with injury. And then we get into the preseason games, and then that first game against the Giants, they kind of pick on him a little bit and go his way. It was nothing huge that he gave up, but I think they threw five passes and completed five against him, most of it short stuff. And you're wondering, all right, where's Trey at, right? And I think there's a difference between the expectations of what we saw in practice and than what we saw in the game and what reality is. I don't think Trey White is going to be all pro Trey from 6 or 7 years ago, but at the same time, he's still serviceable, right? He's still a guy that they can trot out there. And I don't think anybody at that position beyond Maxwell Harrison has the ceiling, right, to get back to that super high level because of just where Trey is at in his career with his age and his injuries. I think he's going to be a veteran guy who, if he's healthy enough here, and that's going to be something to bear watching over the next couple of weeks, obviously, is a guy they can just rely on to know the defense and sort of be in the right spot. Maybe he's not going to make the high-end plays, but he's going to be where you need him to be. And I think that's the most important part for Trey.
Andy Young here on Spectrum News One. We also have a backup quarterback situation where it appears it's going to be Mitch Trubisky as the backup. And we know that for Josh Allen. But what about the third string quarterback? I can't see a scenario where they're keeping two quarterbacks on the practice squad and keeping four total. So that means either Shane Buechele clears waivers and comes back, or Mike White just signs back. Do you see it playing out either way?
It's hard to get a read on that because I thought all along that, you know, Mike White was going to be number three, but then you see the way Buechele played in the preseason game and you're like, man, this guy maybe has a little something there and they can use him as a developmental guy. And maybe next year or whenever he's the backup quarterback to Josh Allen. Right. So I have a tough time getting a fair read on exactly that. I think obviously Mike White is more NFL ready because he's played in games, right? He started games in the NFL, but at the same time, maybe they want to get a look at a different guy that is more of a project and let him kind of play it out for the next year. There is a small scenario where they keep two guys on the practice squad, but I don't know that that's likely.
Yeah, I don't either. Maybe they, because of the performance he put together, and said, man, we just, you know, we'd like to keep him around the building a little bit. If they have an extra spot there, it just seems like it's a kind of spot that's valuable enough to them where he's not going to get enough work. The practice squad quarterback's going to be your scout team guy, and, you know, you really need two of those around. Andy Young here on Spectrum News One. All right, Andy, well, the preseason is over. Was there anything that anything stood out to you about whether Saturday night, maybe Shane Buechele and his performance, or just overall in the preseason and who did or didn't play and who did or didn't perform?
Yeah, I'm not really the only one to tout this, but man, Deion Walker looks good, right?
Yeah.
And his, yeah, like watching him, and especially in pass rush situations, which we heard about. I talked to his college defensive coordinator down at Kentucky and said, man, that guy's got some juice in the pass rush. He's not just a huge body. He's not, it's funny, I actually interviewed Deion Walker, and he said, you know, I don't have big legs. I'm not just this big, heavy anchor that just stands in one spot. For 6'7 and 340 pounds or whatever he is, man, that guy can burst through the line. And seeing him shed blockers and get through to make plays in the backfield, that is really, really impressive. And, you know, I think it vaulted him up the depth chart past Dwayne Walker. And then, you know, he'll be able to back up at one technique Daquan Jones, if they keep Daquan Jones around, as we've talked about. They may have liked him so much that they thought Daquan Jones was expendable. I don't think that's going to be the case, but we'll see. And then the other thing, too, is kind of just watching what's going to go on with Curtis Samuel and Elijah Moore, right? Like, we both thought, everybody thought that Elijah Moore had a nice spring, but then didn't super pop during training camp, but he was mostly available and around. And then the whole Curtis Samuel situation with him not being available, but them, I think, liking Curtis Samuel and what he can be, it's all very interesting to see how that's going to shake out.
Andy Young here, Spectrum News One. All right, the Ravens, week one coming up. This is a monster game for the Buffalo Bills. What did you like about, what do you like about kind of this matchup for the Bills going in? We are close to 2 weeks away. I understand that. And what concerns you about this matchup going in for the Buffalo Bills?
Well, of course, I think number one concern is how do you defend both Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, because that's the main thing. And the running ability of Jackson, of course, the bulldozer running ability of Derrick Henry. And we saw them get completely exposed by that in the regular season last year, but then sort of figured it out and kept that a little more in check in the postseason. And I like that they did do that. They learned what happened that first go around in the regular season and were able to then take that and improve and sort of hold that in check. Yeah, I think Derrick Henry and Lamar got going a little bit in the second half, but by that time, they're playing catch-up. The other thing that really concerns me, too, is we talked about Trey White. You know, Lamar can throw the ball very well, and so much has been talked about him not being a thrower. I think that's completely hogwash. That's gone now. I mean, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, throwing and running, just like Josh Allen is. So, if you're hurting at cornerback two, for whatever reason, if Trey's not up to speed or he's not able to play and Harrison's not in there, all right, do Rashad Bateman or Zay Flowers kind of go off? Or, you know, they bring in another guy, right? They bring in the veteran in Hopkins. So, like, what are you thinking about there? So that does concern me a little bit. But overall, I think I like the way that the Bills have matched up with this team over the years, minus that one game where they got shellacked last year.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, I'm looking around the league right now. Chiefs are releasing Carson Steele. He's done a nice job for them running the football here and there. Mm-hmm. And then the Jets are releasing safety Dean Clark. That is, by the way, Ryan Clark's son. Ryan Clark of ESPN.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So you know, Ryan Clark tweeted, "Hey, you know, it's still going to be on the practice squad. It looks like, and obviously proud, you know, to have that opportunity right there." So today's a day. What are you going to be doing, and how are you going to be spending the day, keeping track of everything, and letting everybody know what's going on?
Yeah, we're going to be on Twitter all day, kind of watching things as they unfold and seeing things happen. Then we'll, you know, we'll go into the station this afternoon and we'll put together, you know, what we see and what's coming up from the 53-man roster release whenever we get that, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock, somewhere in that time frame. And then we'll have the Buffalo End Zone podcast. As soon as that's all set up, Kevin Carroll and myself will kind of break it all down, and then looking forward to what happens tomorrow and the practice squad and all those sorts of things. So yeah, we'll be there on Buffalo End Zone podcast tonight.
All right, buddy. Well, I will see you tomorrow down at the stadium, because I was saying to Josh a little bit earlier, it's kind of funny to think about starting tomorrow at 3 p.m. That's it. That's the roster. Like, because they're going to wait for the practice squad stuff to be signed, and then they'll go out on the practice field. Literally, like, starting tomorrow at 3 o'clock, that's your Bills team. That's 53 plus your practice squad.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because in some years past, we actually would go out to practice today, and there would be this awkward thing of, like, guys have gotten cut, who's there, who's not, are there even 53 guys there, are there 60? I mean, it's just, it's kind of an odd situation. So from everybody's perspective, I think it's almost better in a way that we're not there today, because then it just leads to endless speculation before the actual 53 comes out.
You can follow Andy, by the way, on X at Andy Young TV. Very easy, good follow. He'll be on top of everything going on with the Buffalo Bills. Check him out there and on Spectrum News One. All right, buddy, be good. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, see you, Sal. Appreciate it, man.
All right, you got it. That is Andy Young doing a great job. Andy and I sit next to each other in the media room a lot. Like, we're in the back row. I sit in the back row because it's easy to plug my mic into the what we call a multi-use box for the microphones, just a little technical stuff for everybody in the business. But Andy sits next to me on the left. Josh Reed sits next to me on my right, and we, you know, talk. And it's funny because we all have kids, and we talk about our family lives. And, like, Andy's getting to the point now where his kids are starting to play youth sports, and he's got the great stories he's sharing with me. So it's really cool. Like, we get in the media room, we have these relationships with the media members. And then Josh, you know, Josh has a child who's in high school, but he also has very young children. So, you know, he's going to be going through that again in his life. And we develop these relationships with one another. John Scott is back there as well. And him and Heather Prusak just had a child last year in November. So, you know, these are things that everybody, we're all in, like, different stages of where it goes. So we have a little fun with each other and we talk about it. And I guess this is a way of me saying we all just kind of solve all of life's problems, including, like, youth sports. That's what we're all about back there. 803-0550 is the number to call. All right, we'll take a timeout here. We'll come back. We'll take your phone calls here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Any question you have about the Buffalo Bills roster, about operational ways things happen, the operation of what's going to happen between now and 4 p.m. and into tomorrow, I'm here for you. And I'll answer as best I can here on WGR. So keep it with us. All right, got about a half hour left here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Got time for your phone calls, 803-0550. Getting connected with our fans is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Let's get to Lou in Erie. What's going on, Lou? How are you, buddy?
How are you? I'm looking forward to getting your answer on this. I'm curious about, it's a transactional question. If it by chance the Bills were going to trade a player like Samuel, does the other team have the opportunity to give that player some sort of a physical before that transaction takes place? And how would that go down in a scenario where, like right now, where the timing is so acute, where if you tie up your interest and resources and roster spot in a player, and then 3 days from now you find out, oh gosh, we're going to send him back to the Bills because he failed the physical. You've missed out on possibly many other opportunities you would have gone after. So how does that go down?
Yeah, you're right, by the way. That does happen. It has happened before, especially in other sports, not as much football, but it has happened. I don't believe he could take a physical with the other team until he's with the other team. But you would make the trade. The trade would be pending a physical, so the trade wouldn't be official until he takes a physical with the other team. Now, even if you fail a physical, the team can still accept the trade, right? But if you fail the physical, they could say, you know what, we don't want this, and they can send him back, basically, right? So there might be something wrong that they're aware of and say, okay, we get it. He's taking a physical. We're fine with this. But if it's, hey, pending a physical, we want to make sure he's totally healthy, and he's not, then you're right, because the trade isn't actually official until the physical is passed. So that would then revert back to the Bills, or in this case, or whatever other team. And yes, you would miss out on opportunities. Obviously, you keep your fingers crossed that doesn't happen, but it would kind of freeze your roster up a little bit, which would suck.
And I would think that that's probably also relevant to the relationship between GMs, right? If one GM in an organization is going to give a team a load and say, no, he's ready to go.
Yeah.
And then that person gets there and they fail the physical, that probably doesn't bode well for the relationship between those two teams.
I would say that's right, as long as you know that you're not lying about it, right? Like, there might be something you didn't realize. He goes and does a physical with another team, and like, wait a minute, suddenly there's something wrong there that we didn't realize. Hey, we didn't know about this. But that's correct. I mean, if you're GMs would know that, and teams would know that, and, you know, doctors would talk too, right? And that would be something that would be a strain.
I have one more on that. Couldn't a player say, you know what, I'm really still banged up, I'm not ready to go, you don't want to trade for me, because they would prefer to get cut and be able to go wherever they wanted?
Maybe, I guess. I don't know if I've ever ran into that scenario before, but I guess that's possible if someone had. That would be something that, you know, then you'd have grievances on your hands and things like that, and that'd be a lot of probably legal questions that would go farther than I could answer, to be honest with you.
All right, I appreciate you.
Thank you very much. Lou, yeah, I'm trying on that one. I don't know exactly how that would go. I've never heard of that, but I guess it is possible in that scenario, and then you'd get lawyers involved and grievances, and NFLPA would be involved and things like that. Let's go to George in Fort Erie. Hi, George.
Hey, Sal, how are you? Good show. Good. This morning.
Yeah, thank you.
Listen, this might be a little far-fetched, but do you think that maybe there's some handicapping going on here for the GM and the teams regarding, they're looking at, like, the Bills schedule. They're looking at, you know what, we're in pretty good shape till week seven anyhow. We should be 6-1, 5-2. Maybe we'll do a little sandbagging with some of these guys. Maybe we'll just, you know, that would put Harrison in a different situation. That would put somebody who they expect to start later on in a different situation. You really think they would handicap it, or is that?
I would say yes and no. I don't want to put it the way terms it. I do think they look at the schedule. It's a good question, George. So I don't think they're thinking sandbagging like you put it. What I would say is, though, let's think about what the schedule looks like. A great example is week one, you have the Baltimore Ravens, right? I think even bringing Jordan Phillips is a sign that they're thinking about the Baltimore Ravens, what they need that week. Do they need a little bit more beef, a little extra veteran guy at the defensive line that has played against this team before? So they're already starting to massage their roster based on what the schedule looks like. But I do think, not to sandbag, as you say, that wouldn't be the word I'd use, but I do think if you look at the schedule and say, you know what, we got a guy here, let's just say Max Harrison, for example, just going to use him as an example. You have a guy here, Max Harrison, who, boy, we think he's going to be ready in a couple of weeks, but we're probably better off putting him on the four-week IR. But you know what? Man, that means he's going to miss that really important game against this team that we're going to need a little bit more hands on deck against, you know, this throwing team in week four, week five. We want to make sure he's ready. So let's just make sure we don't. So that way you can get him a proper amp-up time leading up to that. Does that make sense to you, what I'm saying? Where they might think in those terms where, look, we need this guy ready for that game and against that team. We'd like him to have a little bit of extra ramp-up and practice time to get him there. So maybe we don't actually put him on IR. What they will not do, though, George, they will not put a player in harm's way simply based on this.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you could play cornerback against New Orleans, so...
I don't know about that, but they are a team that might have some challenges at quarterback and offense this year, that's for sure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thanks, George. I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, it's a good question, right? I mean, like, yeah, they're always talking about the schedule. You have to think about the schedule and how it factors into a lot of things you're doing. The one thing they're not going to do, but the Bills aren't going to say, if the guys, like, if they have information that says, like, Max Harrison really isn't going to be ready for, you know, 3 weeks at least, they're not going to put him on the field before that. It's just not going to happen. But if they think he could be ready in 2 weeks, and they're looking at the schedule and going, boy, we could put him on IR to return, but you know that week four game would be really nice if we had a guy that could go out there. And I'm using that as an example. Week four is the Saints, I think, right? What he's saying. And that's right. So you know what? But or week five, whatever it is, we kind of like him to get some ramp-up time, be ready to be able to play in that game. So let's not put him on IR to return. He comes back then in a couple weeks. We can start practicing. One thing you got to remember with the IR to return designation, even if you put a player on IR to return now, today, or if a player goes on IR later this year, they have to miss 4 games. They can't practice. It's not just the 4 games. It's 4 weeks of practicing with your team. Like, they do not even, they can't practice. They have to wait until the 4 games are over, and then the next eligible practice day, they can go back to practice with the team. And that's a big deal, right? That's why there is a decision on a guy like Max Harrison. Right, you're saving a roster spot, which is kind of the easy thing of, okay, we can save a roster spot, we can put him on IR to return. He's got to get ready, he's got to rehab, he's got this injury. That's the easy part, right? The tough part with a guy like Max Harrison is, he can't practice with us. So not only are we giving him the proper time to rehab inside the facility with the training room and all that, which is great, but now, when he can practice starting the beginning of week five, how far away is he? He's got to do football stuff. He's got to get back on the field. This is why coaches and GMs talk about development. Now, look, I know that Cole Bishop didn't start on IR last year, but Cole Bishop's a great example of this, which is, this is why it matters to get those reps. It matters to be at practice. By the time Max Harrison actually gets on the field, if he is put on IR to return, he's not just 4 games behind that he missed, he's 4 more weeks behind that he couldn't practice. That's why it's such a big decision with a lot of these things that people have to give some space to and think about. You know, that's how you have to kind of massage your roster. But if you decide, no, we want him back in practicing as soon as possible, as soon as he's ready, that's fine. But then he's taking up a roster spot for a guy that you might, you know, otherwise be able to keep. And you could just stash him for 4 weeks. And these are what we call the roster gymnastics that teams play all the time. First week of the year, Bills play a really important AFC matchup against the Baltimore Ravens. It is a Sunday night contest. Of course, that'll be all every game right here on WGR Sports Radio 550 and the Bills Radio Network. That'll be an NBC contest September 7th, Sunday night, Baltimore Ravens here at home, 8:20 p.m. And then they go to New York to take on the New York Jets. That is a Sunday afternoon game at 1 p.m. Is that the Jets' home opener? I think it is. Where are the Jets? No, the Jets actually, they got the Steelers to open the season. And then they get the Bills the next week. Then the Bills are right back at home on another night game. And that is against the Miami Dolphins on a Thursday night. Bills play Sunday night, Sunday afternoon, Thursday night. Then they're back home again against the Saints the following week on a Sunday, and at home again Sunday the following week against the Patriots. 4 out of the first 5 games at home, 3 of those games at night. Sunday, Thursday, Sunday. Crazy, right? And then it's a Monday night game in Atlanta the following week. I mean, the Bills have all these primetime games early in the season. Literally, out of their first six games, four of them are primetime. The only two that aren't are the Jets and the Saints. Then they have a bye week, and then they don't have any more primetime games for quite a while. One more remaining. That's at Houston, November 20th on a Thursday night, but a bunch of 425 starts after that. So schedule-wise, it's really interesting looking at the schedule and how it's all going to shake out. And I do think the Bills are keeping an eye on the Baltimore Ravens for week one. I think that's a big reason why we're seeing Jordan Phillips signed. Are they thinking about what they need week one? That's a guy you can elevate, have on the roster, be able to practice. You know, it could also just be because, you know, one thing that maybe has nothing to do with any of this stuff, right? Maybe they're just signing Jordan Phillips because, hey, Larry Ogunjobi's suspended. We need another defensive tackle in our practice squad. So go sign Jordan Phillips. He can be here and help us out and be on the practice squad. If we need somebody, he's right there. Maybe it has nothing to do with moving on from anybody. Maybe it's just numbers. They need a guy. They need another defensive tackle. I mean, could be. They still have others. Zion Logue and Marcus Harris and Casey Rogers still on the team, but that could be a reason why. But I think it's also a big reason why, to me, Shaq Thompson is going to play a role for this team this year. And it could be right away against the Ravens. I think Shaq Thompson could right away be on the field playing a role. And I think based on last year and other times when the Bills have played the Ravens, whether that's playoffs or regular season, the Bills have gone with three linebackers several times. They've taken Taron Johnson off the field. They've gone with three linebackers, and that could be Dorian Williams along with Milano and Bernard. That could be Shaq Thompson along with Milano and Bernard, right? I mean, they've done this before. So I do think that Shaq Thompson is on this team and has a role, and we'll see how they play it. But the point I'm making is that role could really be pronounced week one right away. Maybe that's what Jordan Phillips is here for. Week one right away, you know, we're going to play this team a little bit different than we play most other teams. I'm also keeping an eye on the Ravens. Between now and next Sunday, a week from Sunday, we are going to hear a lot more about the Ravens' state of affairs and injuries, and that includes Isaiah Likely. Isaiah Likely broke his foot and had surgery. Really, really nice, good, young tight end for the Ravens. Broke his foot about a month ago, had surgery. And the word then was, they're hoping he's ready for week one. I mean, unless he starts practicing pretty soon, I still think that's a little bit, you know, a lot to ask if you're the Ravens that he would be ready for week one. It could be. Maybe he starts practicing this week and then you're like, okay, he's on track to play. Maybe next week and then he actually can play. If he's not practicing by like Tuesday of next week, I think that's a lot to ask and he's probably missing week one against the Bills. I mean, you got to play the long game here. You have 17 games. If you're the Bills, the Ravens, whoever. 803-0550 is the telephone number to call. Sal Capaccio here with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Any other moves come in here that you've seen? Nothing over the old X machine? There's a whole bunch of other teams making moves. Malachi Corley, you see his whole thing? Malachi Corley? I liked him a lot coming out of the draft, but you never know about these guys. Now there's words, like somebody wrote something about him. This is a guy that played for the Jets last year, dropped that ball. Remember he dropped the ball before he went in the end zone of the primetime game against the Texans? I really liked his game. I know I can't think of the analyst I had on that really, really, like Emory Hunt. Emory Hunt really liked him and talked a lot about him. And the Jets had him, showed a little bit of juice. The Jets moved on from him, but there's something written about him saying that like he thought that he should be a starter, so therefore he refused to play special teams. Like, that's the stuff we don't know about these guys, right? Which is crazy.
There was also a report that the Patriots are releasing Marcus Epps, safety.
Oh, okay.
So
are they also going to release Kyle Duggar? What's going to happen with him?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is any team going to trade
for
him?
It's really weird. I feel like some team should trade for him, but I think it's the cap hit at this point.
Yeah, and then Tyjae Spears is going to be on IR to return. Titans, they're going to place him on an IR to return. So a lot going on here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We are 4 hours and less than 15 minutes away from NFL cut down deadline at 4 p.m. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the show. Any more of your questions here at 803-0550 here on WGR. We'll be right back. Josh, I haven't talked to you really in a little while. Did you watch college football over the weekend?
I did, actually. I was hosting Sports Talk Saturday in there with Owen, and Owen and I, as we were coming back from break, got the first college football touchdown of the season, like, happen as we were coming out of break. Because I was about to be like, oh, the score is, oh, touchdown. Like, it was a pretty fun game.
Is that
game.
The game in Dublin?
Yes, yeah. That was cool. They had a lot of cool stuff. They had, like, at one point they had a cutaway of, like, Guinness's with the Iowa State and Kansas State logos put in foam on the top. That was nice. Like, just, like, all the stuff, you know, around Ireland and everything like that. Like, that whole aesthetic. I've always wanted to go there, so.
It's cool.
It's cool to see all that. And it's funny to see it being played on a rugby field. Like, you can see the grass is so much different on a rugby field compared to an American football field.
Yeah, and it was like, it's the typical Dublin weather, right? Drizzling. And like, it looked like football in late October here in Buffalo, in the United States, in the Northeast, I should say, right? That was cool. Anyway, I bring it up because, obviously, though, this week is a huge week for college football here locally. The UB Bulls are at Minnesota, a Big Ten opponent, taking them on. That will be Thursday night at 8 p.m. How cool is that? Right? That's going to be great.
I'm really excited for that. And I saw a thing the other day. Historically, every year when this happens, a MAC versus a Big Ten school, there's always one upset. There's always one MAC team, at least, that shows up and beats the Big Ten teams.
So. Yeah, so it's funny. I think there was a streak of like 12 years that happened.
Yeah, that was.
But then it ended last year.
Oh, okay.
I don't. It's great. It's a great stat you have because it's right. For like 12 straight years, a MAC team beat a Big Ten team, and I think that ended last year.
Well, maybe UB can reignite.
UB can reignite that, and then Saturday, Syracuse, Tennessee, in Atlanta. That's a lot of orange against each other.
How you feeling?
Not great. Tennessee's really good. I really am excited about Syracuse football, but that's a tough, tough challenge to start the year. Syracuse 13.5-point underdogs. That gives you an idea how I should feel right now, right? That's okay, though. It's good to see the Orange back and good to see the Bulls back, you know, for sure. So yesterday, saw a lot of college basketball coaches at the Coaches versus Cancer. That was a great event. This week, you got UB Bulls football taking on Minnesota on Thursday night. You got Syracuse and Tennessee on Saturday in Atlanta. Should be awesome. And, of course, the Bills take on the Baltimore Ravens a week from Sunday. Cut down day today at 4. We are all over it. Don't forget tonight, folks, before I go, real quick. Don't forget tonight. Tuesday night, right? Hard Knocks tonight. You're going to see that at 9 p.m. And then right after Hard Knocks, Matt Bove and I are going to do a live Hard Knocks reaction / 53-man roster reaction on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. Check it out on my Twitter at Sal Sports, on YouTube at Sal Sports as well. Live tonight at 10, Matt Bove and I, we react to Hard Knocks. We react to the Bills' cuts. Have a great day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.